Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to With Insights. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, streaming live on the World Wide Web, on withinsightsradio.com, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. For the next 60 minutes, we will be learning about With Insights. All our friends on this show have something to share and something to give. So I want you to sit back and relax, fasten your seatbelts, and let's get ready for the ride.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. Tonight's show is Psychics in the City. Actually, this show will be 90 minutes long, so you'll be able to get your calls and your questions in. The call-in number is 646-595-3440, and that is the number so you can get into the switchboard and get in the queue to speak with us. Tonight we have our guest, Katie Mack, Stephen Eagle, Ben Fourhawks, Mutto Sasquatch,
Mutto,
our friend here, and Iggy Garcia, Hoop Watcher. So we're here today to talk to you about different things, but before we start our show, we always talk about little topics, little things that are on our mind, and today I'm going to bring up the topic about being universally high. Yes, because today it seemed like it was kind of an interesting day for me personally. I really felt really energetic, and I felt like I was buzzed, like I've been drinking all day. And which is kind of strange. I never really feel that way. But I had reports that a lot of people have felt that way today. And a lot of people didn't report it because they didn't want to think they were kind of weird. So, of course, the weirdest of us all, me, reported on Facebook. And so I got some good response from it. But I felt kind of really energetic. I felt like everything was just flowing through me really quickly and fast. And kind of had, you know, that when you have that buzzed feeling when you've had a couple drinks in your body. But it felt different. It felt very nurturing and very loving. I don't know if anybody on the panel feels that way.
Yeah, maybe a little. I'm feeling kind of sluggish, but at the same time, like you said, kind of buzzed.
Yeah.
It's not quite in my body. You know.
Yeah, it didn't feel really weird to me. I mean, it didn't feel like I was out of my body. I felt like I was in my body, experiencing energy at the same time, like vibrational, high energy inside me at the same time. It was really cool. I'm sure, Todd, you only had to think about what you're doing at work today, your first day. How'd that go?
It was fun. It was fun. I haven't done a 40-hour a week type job in about 6-7 years.
Wow.
So it was I had some nervousness about that. It was just getting the first day in, but it was they gave me plenty to do. It's the motif is a training. I'm doing training in the morning, and I'm working in the afternoons with training that they gave me in the morning.
Okay.
We're doing that all week. So the training, the gentleman who did the training in the morning was an older gentleman, and it was kind of, you know, not the most exciting delivery anybody ever had, but he knew a lot of stuff, and he gave us the benefit of his knowledge, sometimes in a sort of random way, but It was. I mean, I've been a lot of times where you're sitting, you know, it's 4 hours and you listen to a guy talking, you know, you're trying not to, you know, let your head fall on the desk in front of you, but it wasn't like that. You know, it was able to kept all of us engaged. And then, I had to go get my fingerprints done because in our state, you're not allowed to work with children unless you have a criminal background check.
That's correct.
And then I went back and did some of the stuff they trained me to do. The day just flew right by.
So. Yeah, I remember your post from last night. I'm still awake.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. When I know I have to get up in the morning, it's really hard for me to get to sleep.
Yeah.
The night before, I about 2:30, I was laying in bed. I didn't want to go to bed, but I was just laying there staring at the ceiling.
Maybe do some Tai Chi with us tonight. We need that energy. Put you right to sleep. Relax you. How's your Katie?
Oh, I had a good day. I read and did some writing. I'm trying to get back into the mode of studying and got some things done, put away, sorted. So I did have an energetic day.
microphone. I want to apologize to everybody. I pushed the wrong button on the switchboard there. I thought I was going to be able to move over the little cursor, and I disconnected us temporarily. So what we do here on Psychics in the City is we bring together people who are intuitive in nature, and, you know, from different types of backgrounds. Some of us are, you know, work through animal cards. Some of us through just, you know, kind of direct connection. Some of us through written word. And some of us just, you know, pick up and know how to do it. Everybody has their own little spin, their own little way. There's no wrong or right way. Rosa will be joining us here lately. Those of you who know, she co-hosts the show with me. She's running a little late on the show. She's our star. She's our quarterback of the show, so we give her props there.
Until today, she was the one who had the real job.
Yeah. I'm the running back. I don't run. Todd's like the linebacker type, you know. Katie's our live person. And I say Ben's our wide receiver. We have a good team here, so we have fun with it. Then we have our guests in the background here, Jake and Dante, you know, smiling.
Live studio audience. Musical
guests. Our studio audience, yeah. They'll play a little tune here in a little bit for us. So. Yeah. We try to ask you to just keep your questions to yourself, personally. It's you get a lot more answers about what you need to hear. If you try to get a third-party reading, it's kind of hard because the other person's energy is not really flowing through us. It's directly through you and your perceptions and how you perceive that person.
You mean to keep the question about yourself?
Yes, about yourself.
Okay.
About you.
I was confused. You said keep the question to yourself. How are we going to know?
We're
not good. You attack us.
Yeah. Well, I'm a mind reader. I don't know. I'm sorry. I was picking out.
Is that what you're just about to say, too? Yes.
Yes, no. No. Let's see if we have anybody in the chat room. The chat people are starting to come in. Knocked on a little slow today. Again, the number is 646-595-3440. And I have to paste this and put it into our chat. What's on your mind, Katie?
Well, I've been feeling that there's someone out there who's been trying to decide whether to be creative, to dip into their creative mode or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that you should dip into your creative mode because this is a year to be creative. If you have a passion for painting, or writing, or you like to write stories or poetry or even sing, then I would say go ahead and follow that passion. Even if you can't draw or paint, but you want to paint, just get out a canvas or a sketchbook and just scribble, doodle, whatever comes to your mind, even if you close your eyes and do it. But open up that creative part of you and get it out, because if you don't get it out, then part of you feels like it's going to explode, and you'll go running down the street with your arms up, yelling. I mean, part of you feels that way. I sense that, but I know you're not going to go down the street running, screaming down the street.
You're looking at me and asking me that question. I could, yeah.
But I'm getting that from someone out there.
Okay.
So open up that creativity within you and just go for it. Take some singing lessons or start singing to yourself. Do what is ever in your heart. Creatively make clothes, design something that's in your heart to do. Just do it.
And Todd's got a thinking cap on. He's at
a Baron Samedi hat. I'm in where are they? I'm in Jamaica or wherever they do that.
Yamba.
Is that what it is?
Well, Peru, the women wear hats like that. Yeah, they wear those old colonial hat types.
I've had this scenario unfolding in my head for the last several days. I don't know if it means I'm supposed to write about it or what. It's a married couple who love each other very much. They just can't seem to stop fighting about it. And they're just, I mean, They have money, they have a comfortable existence, and a lot of it's complications that come from that existence. They just can't seem to find an agreement. And the energy of the whole thing is very disturbing to me. I don't know why I'm not able to dismiss it. And I'm doing.
Maybe it's someone in our audience that's telling
you. Maybe it's somebody in this table. I don't know. Maybe it's the guy next door. Who knows? Nobody knows, but I know what you're saying. Well, Rose is in the house, I think. I think you're on.
Oh, hi.
I'm sure I'll turn
this
off by accident.
Good evening, everybody.
Our quarterback has arrived. And we're holding the fort down while you're
great.
Arriving.
Awesome.
Just talking about, we opened the show with Universal Being, Universally High. I kind of explained it today. I was kind of universally high.
Okay.
I just feel energy is just surging through me like I was drunk.
Really?
I felt like a drunk, drunken sailor that I hadn't drank in the house.
Should we do
with you?
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, just felt like really energized and pumped up.
Yeah, and I wasn't the only one. I mean, a lot of people were feeling the same way. And I don't know,
we were
communicating
a lot.
Corresponding
mm-hmm.
today, and it kind of happened after.
Oh, really?
After we were talking, I was like, all right, man.
How does that affect on people? I'm kidding.
What's in that damn cookie? Found a cookie there. It says, don't eat me. I was like, okay,
you know, and it's interesting. It's because, you know, you're asking a lot of questions, and you're, like, kind of pondering life, and, you know, when you do that, you open up different, you know, possibilities and
mm-hmm.
just different energies, too, that kind of flow in that direction as well, so... Good. Well, good. Monday, you know.
So how's your day going?
Very, very, very productive. You know, it's a Monday. I felt very, you know, felt good after having a really great weekend. So, you know, it's always very
helpful.
She
was fine, so I called.
It's good. No, you got me thinking in a lot of different directions.
I'm like, Rose, so. I'm an alien from outer space.
He's like, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. I'm like, go ahead, tell me. What? So,
I'm a walk-in.
I'm like, well, you a walk-in? Are you baby Moses? So, you know, he's my brother, and, you know, we share a lot of similar backgrounds. But even people that are in the same families sometimes don't feel like they belong from time to time, you know? I feel like people around this table, we're a family. And there are times where we feel like we belong to the family, and sometimes we don't feel like we fit in, or where do we fit in? So that's kind of what we were talking about today a little bit. And I know a lot of people feel that way. You know, when you're in your circle, sometimes you feel like in the circle. And other times, you know, you've either cast yourself out by creating stories, or others cast you out because they're creating stories about you or try to. But the illusion is that, you know, there's a cast out or you're not part of the circle. But, you know, that's our job to figure that out.
But it's funny because I was doing some decoding.
Oh, my
God. I share the decoding because I think it's really interesting because maybe it'll inspire somebody else to do decoding in their life. Take, like, people who are in your life,
mm-hmm.
like three significant people who are really, I mean, who are really all the time in life, in constant, or some engagement you have with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few different codes you have to break. So I took this code of these particular people that I had, and it spelled out my initials. One group spelled out my initials, and the other part of it spelled out the word bad. And it spelled IJG, bad. I was like, okay, what's that mean? Then I turned around, and I was like, and also I turned the letters around and said dad, IJG, dad. You know, so I was playing. I still have more decoding to do, but it was interesting, you know, because it's interesting how
bad jig.
You know, it was just bad. It was just interesting how they all, at some degree, at some level, they all have some energetic reminder of who I am, how I look at myself. And I'm going, wow, that's pretty interesting, you know?
Right.
You know, and, you know, only to protect their names, not mine. I don't care.
Of course.
I will not disclose their names because I don't want anybody, you guys can figure out, you guys, people in my room, you guys know who they are. But it was just interesting.
Thank God my name's not one of the BAD ones.
It was just like, I was like, okay, that's pretty cool, you know? Well, we have, you know, past life relationships with people, past life engagements, or even a moment engagement in this one. And so I find it really, really interesting and really neat. And it was almost like a movie, you know. I felt like I was in a movie.
It's like you had this big epiphany or something, because you texted me that. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I'm like, so what does it mean? What does that mean to you?
I didn't look at it as a bad thing. I thought it as something that I have to look at, you know.
Right.
How I engage in relationships with other people, help them with some boundaries, you know, how they engage with me.
People engagement.
You know, how
yeah.
I invite people into my life and the things that they do. So it was pretty cool.
Right.
It was just one of those things, you know. You know, I'm always into numbers and letters and stuff, so
mm-hmm.
it doesn't necessarily mean anything. but it could mean something.
Well, you know, it got you thinking. So it got you thinking in a way that is helping you grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's worthwhile. It gets you, you know, your mind thinking in a different direction. And, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and then I still have more letters to work out from different people who I have in my life. Jamie and Todd and Ben, you know, just
yeah.
to work out on that. You know, the decoder.
You have to find somebody with a vowel, because we all have, like, you know,
But it was interesting, you know, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to play those little, like, discovery games. Okay?
Yeah.
Because it's really about me. It's not about them. That's how I perceive myself to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And how I experience them.
I'll buy that for a dollar. I agree with you on that. That's for sure. Yeah, so that's interesting. How was your day, Katie?
Good.
Pretty good. Good weekend?
Yeah, we went through this already.
Already? Okay. I'm playing catch up, sorry.
You mean you weren't listening in the car on the way here?
Oh, I don't have data phone. Sorry.
No, I've been trying to get some things done, and I got some things done today that I wanted to. I have a lot of preparation, unfinished business that I'm trying to.
Really?
I wanted to get done before the end of the year, but it didn't happen that way. So, trying to get them finished now before I start a new project. I finish the old project.
Cool.
All right, let's take a 30-second pause, and we will return. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication and resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories and exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders. This segment is brought to you by your local Mercedes International Restaurant, home of the tacos. 35 cent tacos on Tuesday night, 299 margaritas. Why don't you just come and enjoy yourself on Tuesday night? Tacos until they're gone. So, get ready to open the caller lines now. Invite people to share with us. Yep, share with us. Please do. This is your show. To learn. We are back, guys. Ready for the first caller? Are they ready for us? We're ready for them. 512 on air.
I'm not ready.
Are you on?
I hear some rustling.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave. Welcome.
What's on your heart? What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'd love to get a reading, if possible.
Okay. Any particular area?
Would you like everything's kind of up in the air, but I am waiting on an investment to pop.
Okay. Would you like a message from Spirit, just the general reading, or see where that leads? Let's see what that happens there.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I'd like.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Miss Katie, she drew a card for you, and she's actually pulling from the, is that Trust Your Vibe from, Sonia Choquette, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought one of you all might have something,
just read
before it, but it says claim your boundaries. So, know where your boundaries, pretty much know where your boundaries are. And with that, with knowing your boundaries, is knowing who to trust and who not to trust. It's like in the investment market, I hope you made a wise investment and not something that fly by night. And with investments, you should always do your homework before putting funds in anywhere. So I hope you made wise boundaries with your
your funds with your money.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that because you said to make wise decisions. But also, I pulled a card. I pulled a dolphin card, which is kind of funny. At the same time, the dolphin is saying to be playful and take time to play. Not to be so serious and hung up. After you've done the work you do, just let it ride. Let it ride like through the waters, like the waters roll. There are sometimes there's no control over our investments. Once we put them in, it's kind of out of our hands. We have projections and things we want to do with them, but at that point, it depends what happens in the market, who you're investing with, who your broker is. And like Katie said too, you have to know what's going on. This is a business. That's what people don't understand when they're investing. Investing is a business. Investing is something that you have to do. It's like running a restaurant. If you don't know what's going on, you just let it ride. It's not going to last very long, and you lose your money. You got to know when to pull it out, when to keep it in, or not touch it at all. And that's kind of what I'm picking up. Spirit saying, just relax a little bit.
And with that reading as well is, I'm just visualizing the dolphin. The dolphin flows effortlessly in the water, but the dolphin also knows its boundaries as well. It can't flow as well in certain environments as others. Like obviously off land, it doesn't do as well as it does in water, in shallow waters, different types of hostile environments. So the dolphin's like a totem. It's like a guide for you. So Collins the dolphin as well is to help you identify what healthy limits and boundaries are as well, because to some degree the dolphin does represent freedom and playfulness and reminding you to step into your playful nature. A dolphin is a very intuitive creature as well. It has a lot of very powerful healing abilities. So dolphins are really powerful spirit animals that, that wanted to share the message with you along with boundaries, so it's pretty cool.
They breathe air.
Yes, they do breathe the air. And they do come up for air once in a while, and they have to in order to survive.
Something else is breathe. Make sure you breathe. And don't worry. Don't worry about it. Because if something is supposed to flourish, it will. It will flourish, and it will grow, and it will become something that your heart wants it to be. So make sure you speak positively over your investment. Put out that good vibe, that positivity, because what we sow comes back to us in some form or the other. So if you're putting out that good seed and putting out that good word over your investment or over whatever you give, then it'll come back to you in a positive way.
Gemma, anybody on the panel? Have anything?
Thank you so much for that, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, we'll go right on down the line here. Again, our number is 646-595-3440. That's our next caller here. 202, you are on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I also, my name's Deb.
What was that again, caller? She got, her call got dropped, so she'll call back.
Oh, nice.
Okay, call, you can call it back. Somehow you got dropped. She got excited and pushed the wrong button, like I did. All right, well, I got a vision of, when I was listening to the last caller, I think he's still on, so. And Colin, we'll get you back on here in a second. I believe you said your name was Deb. But I got a vision of taking out the trash. I don't know why. And the vision I got was take out the trash a day before trash day instead of wait for trash day. I don't know what that means or how that flows. But sometimes our colors understand things like that.
Right.
And so, Colin, since you're still on, I just thought I'd throw it out at you a little bit.
Just not throwing the trash out at you. But that could be metaphorically, too.
Sure, absolutely.
Take out the trash. Get rid of the gunk, the junk in your life. Mm-hmm. And so your life can be go on a more better road or more better existence so things can grow and flourish in your life.
Right. Plus, caller here, we lost, we dropped. 202.
trying again. I'm here sounds this better. Time. Sorry about that.
Sounds better this time.
What was your name again?
Daphne.
Daphne. Okay. Yeah, we heard that, and that was it.
Yeah.
Kind of like Scooby-Doo.
That's a neat name. I don't hear that name very often.
No, you don't.
Interesting.
Pretty. Oh, too funny. So was that message about the trash for me?
You know, I knew there was. I had to stop somebody. But does that resonate with you somehow?
Yeah. In fact, the funny thing is I'm actually going through a bunch of the paperwork on my desk, and I'm working on packing up my place because I'm going to be gone for a month and renting my place for a month. So, yeah, I don't know. That could be more than coincidence.
Okay. Excuse me. Yeah, I just like I told everybody on the panel, it was just kind of like, I just came to my head. I didn't know if it was for you or for the other guy, and so if it resonates with him, that's beautiful. Is there anything else that you'd like to know or anything that you want to...
You know, there are a couple of issues that I am really torn about finding out. One is about finances, and the other is about relationships. Both are sort of lacking in my life, so... have insights, wisdom to share on either or both, I'd really appreciate it.
I drew the squirrel card. The squirrel card speaks about preparation. Get ready for big changes. All right. I'm not sure how that flows, how that's going to be, but the squirrel is one of those little creatures in nature that we're actually able to observe and say, hey, you know, what's he doing? You know, he's packing his nuts and grabbing, you know, straw and leaves and, you know, packing it all in there in his little house and getting ready for winter. You know, it's not one of those things. He doesn't wait. He doesn't wait around. You know, he doesn't wait till fall to start doing this stuff. As soon as spring comes, they're already ready. They're fixing the house last year. You know, they're doing the thing.
Right.
You know.
And the squirrel, this is their season for mating. Mm-hmm. This is their time when they're really active, like forming, finding mates, and they're all chasing each other out in the wilderness. I'm not sure if you've, like, watched them and they're... you know, in their environment, but they're out there, you know, finding their mates and, you know, doing their thing. And I think that's, you know, sometimes people think of the, you know, the rabbit, but this, the timing of the card and the season of this animal is interesting too. So it's out there. Be in your joy, you know, do what you love doing. And that's the best time to attract your ideal mate, when you are doing something that you're joyful and brings you happiness, because you want to attract somebody that does the same stuff that resonates with you. So, you know, keep on doing what you're doing. If it's, you know, in that positive vibe, whatever you do to renew, refresh, and bring joy to your life, whatever you do to help yourself play and be playful, I would imagine that squirrel is trying to talk through us through that card as far as being playful too. Because when you think of a squirrel, you know, you think of them, they're just very active on the go kind of creatures, you know. They're always, they have something to do.
Yeah, timing for us, I suppose.
Yeah, timing. So, I think that's a really fun card. Even thinking about it makes me all joyful and excited. Squirrel's really positive.
I don't know, are you thinking about the same thing I am?
The apartment.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about something before.
So, yeah, they're very agile. They don't let things weigh them down too much either. You know, if you notice a squirrel, even though they are definitely preparing for the future, they're very agile and they have to, they're on the move and they're always planning and on the go. You know, it's great. And you'll see a squirrel at rest too. But when you do see them resting, it's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know, it's so weird because they're just laying and they're actually taking a nap. But even squirrels rest. So it's okay to, you know, I know it sounds like you have a lot of stuff cooking, but it's okay to take a little break once in a while.
I think Katie's got a card for you.
Yeah, the card I pulled says, cloak yourself in light, love and light. So make sure you say meditation or prayer over yourself daily and positive affirmations over yourself to cloak yourself and put on a covering of love and light so you would attract the positive to you. And keep the negative out, because you're in wanting someone or looking for a relationship too, you want to keep the negative, needy people away, so to speak, unless you're that type of person who likes that. Now, if you're...
Yeah, very clear.
She's like, hey,
So, yeah, no, definitely not.
When I pulled, it did say cloak yourself in love and light. So that means keep the negative element out of your life. Let's do that on a daily basis.
You know, I'm also picking up, this is a good reading, I like this reading, because, you know, the squirrel also has kind of the energy of disruption, too. The
mm-hmm.
squirrel doesn't really care. You know, get into your house, and he'll burrow in there and make a lot of noise. So the squirrel's also telling you, you know, well, how are you burrowing into relationships? How are you burrowing into finances? How are you looking at these things? Are you looking at them from a squirrely point of view, or do you have it from a different type of view? Because what happens is, if you're just going in there and just doing what you're doing, and just because that's the way it is, and that's the way you say things are, you know, that could be a turnoff for somebody who you're in a relationship with. You know, it may be fine, it may be great, it may be perfect, but there comes a point where you have to set limits and boundaries with somebody, and they have to set them with you too as well. It's a two-way street. You know, it's not one way. And so sometimes myself and everybody who's in this panel, we have to reflect back and say, okay, why are they upset? Why is this person? Why is my life in this state of? What am I doing? How can I take responsibility and say, how can I change that? How can I make that different? How can I?
Well, and the thing is, that's sometimes the most obvious place, but it's the most effective place, because you really can't change other people. I mean, you can, you know, work a lot and spend a lot of energy trying to convince something or trying to prove and defend yourself all you want. The bottom line is, you know, a person really need to be convinced of yourself and be comfortable with your decisions that you make. So, yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. The squirrel had a lot to say tonight, definitely.
And the squirrel says, go to a movie.
Go to a movie?
Go to a movie. Okay.
Go to a movie. I'm
cool.
Not sure, but
all right.
We'll figure it out when you get
all
to the theater.
Let us know if that's different.
We appreciate you. Thanks for calling in.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Squirrels funny, you know. They have a lot of playful energy.
They do.
But very centered energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my feeling. The story I was thinking of was when I vlogged about at one point. I was on the Oval, which is famous, of course, for its many squirrels. I was sitting on a bench and watching the squirrel run around, and he climbed up on the bench beside me and ran up on my shoulder.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
And my feeling from the government was a very centered, because I feel like you watch a squirrel and you think of just this all over the place kind of energy, just mm-hmm. scattered energy. And the feeling I got from him was that his energy was very serene and calm. He knew what he was going to do, and that's what he was out to do. It was my energy that was scattered.
Uh-huh.
That's what I mean. It's just in comparison to him, I was all over. And yeah, he only stood there for like a second, maybe not even that long, and
really?
then he ran.
That's cool.
And I think that was his energy. That message to me was sort of, my God, what's wrong with you? I'm not getting anywhere near that energy, you know.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Yeah, it's just the appearance of the squirrel is just, you know, it's very random, but it's not at all if you watch.
Right.
You know, there's
yeah.
stuff.
I agree with
squirrel
that.
Has stuff that the squirrel can't afford to waste time.
That's the squirrel. It's always working. It's always on task. You know, really focused. You know, we look at it like it's everywhere. Like, you know, oh my gosh, that, you've got ADD or whatever. But really, the squirrel is like purposeful, and it's so expends a lot of energy, and it's really focused.
Like
one back, I mean, it's like everywhere, but it's everywhere wanting to do a little of gathering food. Their food, I think that the squirrel has like some primary focus: food, gathering food, playing with other squirrels, and running for its life.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
there's
you know.
Some making squirrels in there.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yes. Yes.
Can I add something?
Mm-hmm. No, you can't.
No, you may not. Time's
yeah.
up.
Well, about a squirrel, me and my friend Melody, we were students at OSU. We were sitting on the Oval. We were studying in our book bag room. This squirrel came up and looked in my book bag. Then he looked in her book bag, then dug down, went inside her book bag, grabbed a little Debbie snack cake, and ran off with it.
Wow. Yeah, and it's just, invest in little trees. It's no longer around.
Knew what it wanted and ran off with it.
It's smart.
That's funny.
Took the wrapper and made it part of its home, and then had a
yeah.
little
yeah.
You'd be surprised what you find in a squirrel's
nest,
man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Oh my
Diabetic squirrel.
Diabetic squirrel.
Oh, my gosh.
It's our little Debbie.
Poor little guys. For those of you in the chat room, you can actually send us a message if you like through the chat. Our call-in number is 646-595-3440. Go to our next caller here after the break. So hang on, people. We'll get to you as soon as we can here. Hold on.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. Panel of Mike McKitty here, Katie Mack, Rosa, Ben, Todd. So that's much. Four Hawks, Honda Woman, this segment is brought to you by Jack and Benny, Breakfast Place of Champions here on High Street, right next to
your
bedroom.
You're plugging all my restaurants.
Brother slipped you a 20 for that?
Oh, they do.
They do. You know, man does not live by readings alone.
That's right.
You have to have nourishment and food.
Absolutely.
And we have to eat.
Bacon,
this
and
body needs food.
Bacon and tacos and fresh squeezed oranges.
Yeah, there you go. He does have fresh squeezed oranges. You're correct about that. So we do joke around here a bit. That's because of me.
Not a little bit, a lot.
So, let me check the chat room real quick here, make sure everybody's hanging in there pretty good. All right, let's move on down the line here. 504, you're on the air.
Yeah. I was going to ask a question, if it's okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What's your name?
Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. And this may be off the subject and everything, but I was wondering how I should get along with my boyfriend's family better.
How you should get along?
Say it again?
She wants to know how she can get along with her boyfriend's family better.
That's a good question.
I don't think they like me.
They don't like you? Okay, let me ask you.
I'm going to step off the panel on this one.
All right. You're going to step off the panel? Let me ask you one question. Real, just one. Why would somebody not like you?
I think they're hypercritical.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you think they're hypercritical? Hypercritical?
Yes.
Okay. And I pulled a card for you. I pulled the card, which is a rabbit. It speaks about fertility. Your creativity is at its peak. Okay. What I'm hearing you say is that you want to be part of something that's very important to you, or something that is, you know, very valuable to you, because in order to get along with everyone, when you get along with people, this person's related. And so if you're an outsider looking in all the time, it doesn't make any sense. So you say that they're hypercritical. So let me ask you, are there any parts of yourself that are hypercritical?
I think my boyfriend is a little bit hypercritical, but you're cutting out. I just heard part of that.
Okay. Maybe it's my mic. Anybody else? Try to fill her.
What
I am a rabbit, by the way.
He was asking. Okay. Are you? Is that your talk?
Yeah, I'm a rabbit.
Cool. Okay.
Isn't that weird?
You know, Chinese. It's interesting.
Okay.
Oh, is that Chinese? You're the rabbit. Okay. You're the rabbit. You. It sounds like you're in a situation that it sounds like it's kind of a tough situation that you've invested a lot of energy and story behind what you're going through right now. So just be aware of where you're focusing your attention. And, you know, it's okay to have those feelings and notice when people are doing, and then notice the judgment about their judgment. And see, you know, how much energy you're, you know, notice, just pay attention how much energy you're putting behind all that. Ultimately, you want to be your authentic self. You want to be who you are. And of course, you know, be respectful and follow their rules that they have and so forth. If you're stepping into their family as far as when you're at their house, you're interacting with them, you want to be polite. But ultimately, you want to sacrifice who you are. So, to some degree, you know, they're... by mission only, of course. Now, there has to be a point where you're comfortable with yourself enough where it's okay if, let's say, they don't like you the way you want them to. And they may never like you, that their son or daughter date. You know what I'm saying? It may not still be you. It may be that it doesn't matter who it is. This is who they are. And that's kind of the feeling that I get. It's not necessarily about you. It's about what you represent to them. And be aware that, you know, the more authentic and more true self you can be, they're not going to be able to resist liking you. It's going to be hard for them not to like you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm very spiritual, but he told me kind of don't say stuff like that to them because they'll make fun of me. And if I talk about angels or vibration, so... you know, I still say a few little things, but I don't know, maybe he's just afraid they're going to do it.
Well, he wants protective of, he sounds like he's protective of you. Honestly, it doesn't sound like,
okay.
You know, some people are ready for this type of language and communication, and some people aren't. You know, living in the light doesn't mean you're the angelist of the light either. You know, you can still live the light in by your actions and deeds versus being preachy about, hey, you know, I communicate with angels, or, you know, Archangel Michael's all over, you know, with me every day, or I call upon the angels. I mean, all that's awesome because that's how I live my life. But then, you know, we can't expect others to fully embrace that. But what's important, you know, what Spirit's reminding me of this conversation is, it's okay to live your to be authentic to yourself. At the same time, you know, not necessarily evangelize it to people who just aren't ready to hear it. Your actions and who you are as a person are going to speak louder than your words and your stories necessarily. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You're cutting in and out, but I got you more than I got him, and I mean, I'm not going to change my beliefs, and I kind of don't say that much, but his sister in particular. You know, like, she'll just say some things to him, and he'll tell me. And it just makes me not want to go around him because I get my feelings hurt. And, you know, they're just very minor, picky things.
Well, the thing is, you know, your beliefs don't fit into their belief system, and that's what the main conflict of our world is, you know, people, you know, not accepting others for who they are. You know, they want them to be just like them because it's threatening. But you know that, okay? So,
yeah.
You know, it sounds like you have a higher awareness and you have a higher level of compassion, too.
Yeah.
So, you don't necessarily have to perpetuate their behavior through your judgment of the situation because, you know, your judgment of their judgment is creating a lot of the same of what you're getting. You know what I'm saying? You're creating more of the same of what you're being dished out. You know how to transmute that and accept that for what it is and say, you know what, that is who they are, and I don't need them to be anything else for me than who they are because that's unconditional love, right? It's accepting and understanding and understanding that that's who they are, and so be it.
And
I need time and true to myself. I don't need to change them, and they don't need to change me, and guess what? We all know that's what it is. This is the learning for them and for you, and it will continue to have maybe a little bit of a charge until you stop giving us the energy in a negative light. Look at it for what it is. That's serving a higher purpose, whether you can see that maybe at the moment or not, but it really is. There's some trans.
Uh-oh. Oh, man. Are you going? Hello? Oh, man.
I think we're back on.
Okay.
So hopefully, caller.
So hopefully, you got to hear, you know, some of that. And but it's sometimes it's challenging. You know, when we are in a, when we are being judged by others, you know, our feelings do get hurt. You know, we're human. We're gonna. It's important to feel that emotion, but also regroup and get perspective, and you know, recenter yourself in what you believe in, and don't create more of a negative void. I guess a perpetuation of what's already been created there, that judgment. So judgment is all about really people not fitting within your value system. They don't believe the same thing I believe, so they're not going to play my sandbox. And guess what? I don't like you anymore. Because you look different, you say different things, you sound funny, and you're my mommy and daddy didn't teach me that way, and I'm not comfortable with that. So, you know?
That was, you know, that was the deal with both of my sets of in-laws, actually. And there was never an opportunity for healing with the second ones, but the first ones, that came when my granddaughter was born. And I was sitting with them in the hospital waiting for my granddaughter to be born. Nobody else to talk to. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, when my daughter was born, and the same thing, you know, my daughter was having a baby, and we were all together waiting for that to happen. We were pretty much the same group of people. There was some healing that came out of that. A lot of the old animosity that had been festering for years, it was just, it fell away when we were brought together. When something brought us together, it's something that we could sort of both agree on.
Mm-hmm. Something, if I can add something, a way of not getting your feelings hurt is just know that whatever that person's saying doesn't particularly reflect on you. I mean, it's just something that's with inside of them that they're dealing with, that's using you as a mirror, and they're looking at something within you that is tweaking them about something within of themselves. So that way, they're feeling protection. Just like some people take their problems and throw them on someone else. So you can look at it and say, oh, that's not my problem. That person has a problem, but it is not my problem, so I'm not going to receive that. But say that to yourself and just listen to that person talk and just let them vent. They're not acting pretty much feeling, but they're trying to not have themselves hurt so much, so they're throwing it or projecting things out on you that shouldn't be said. But sometimes we just say things to somebody when we see something within ourselves that we don't like. So that could be a way of, like, shield yourself first before you go see them, so that you know if something is said negatively, don't take it personal. Just say, oh, within yourself, say, oh, okay, I understand. So that way you keep from getting your feelings hurt. Because I'm one of those people, years ago, I used to get my feelings hurt all the time until I started looking at, okay, that's not me. What they're projecting is not me. I don't have to take in that negativity and that energy that's being projected towards me. It's not me. It has nothing to do with me. It has something to do with on the inside of that other person.
And that big club you carry now. Ben, you have anything you want
to
add?
I was just going to say something to the effect of, you know, kind of like along the thing that Todd was saying, to the effect of him and his in-laws or ex-in-laws found a common ground. You know, they found something that they all could talk about. They all had a kind of a commonality on, and, you know, in terms of what you were discussing or expressing, I mean, I would say that's accurate with my parents. They aren't going to be calling in or listening to today's show. You know, they're just not there. That's not part of their gig, you know. We're not going to be talking about crystals and or, you know, deities or other religions.
Or Xandor from the planet Zeon.
Right. During, you know, Thanksgiving dinner next year. So, I mean, but my dad and I, we work on fires together, and we also do archery together, and, you know, we talk about all kinds of other good stuff. But,
we did have a question in the chat room. He was asking us. Question to the group, maybe Mark. What is the best joke you have heard about being psychic?
I have one. I only know one about being psychic. It's dedicated to to our friend Ricky Day,
okay,
who was working for the. I think I made this joke up, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
His is this about Ricky Day. He also worked for the U.S. Census.
Well, yeah.
He was going door to door, and I happen to think it's good to hire psychics to work for the census, because if nobody's home, he can just say, three people, a dog and a cat. And looks like about $55,000 a year. Okay.
All right.
We're done there. Just knock it right off.
All right, Andrew, you can call in and give us a six over if there was one. Did anybody else have a psychic joke?
I remember a shirt that my friend Lori had that said, she got it, I think, for her boyfriend. I'm not sure, but it said something to the effect of, you think you've got it bad, my girlfriend's psychic.
Right.
Wasn't there one about when the psychic for the National Enquirer died? Someone said, I guess you didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
What was her name?
I think
it was the National Enquirer for Jean Dixon.
Jean Dixon.
Oh, wow. Mm. I didn't know they had one.
I forgot about Jean Dixon.
I don't read that magazine, Todd.
All right. But well, we have in the audience, studio audience has a question. What's your question? Okay.
Here, wait a minute.
Hi, everybody. This is Jake.
Hi, Jake. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Jake's listening to the show from studio audience here at Garcia's.
I'm enjoying it. Comment on the relationship. Person maybe struggling with them. There's an old saying, and my grandma actually used to tell me this, my great-grandma, and she said, you can't make anybody happy unless you are, and it sounds like you're very content with the person, and that you're struggling with the family, so just know that if you're making that person happy and the family sees it, that, I mean, over time, it will come to settle, and all your disputes and questions and frustrations will just go away. And, I mean, that's a great thing about a relationship. So, I always take that to heart.
Very good.
Thank you, Jake.
Thanks. Jake's in our classes. Starting to attach and release his inner psychic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, let's see what Andrew said from the chat room here, see if he responded back. Two psychics walk into the bar, and one says to the other, you're fine, how am I? I almost blew a punchline there for a second. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on down the line here. 504, you're on the air.
That was me, Debbie. I'm still listening.
Oh, okay, Debbie.
Okay.
All right. Welcome. Okay.
You caught out and then came back, and I kept listening.
Yeah, just
thank
shows
you
the
so
topic
much.
Here, so. All right, hope you enjoyed the reading. We'll be in the
thank
meeting.
Thank you,
there, okay?
Yeah, very much.
Welcome. Go to the chat room. Sure, we don't have any more psychic jokes. Just ninja-looking little, characters there.
Mm-hmm.
Our call-in number is 646-595-3440. Anybody in the panel want to give a reading?
Reading to...
Kitty?
Oh, okay.
All
right.
Let's not all just jump in here.
I feel like I know you like the back of my hand. Wait a second. That's when I smacked you upside the head. Never mind.
Which hand?
wait a second. Oh, my gosh.
I see you baking Peruvian food.
Oh, wow.
Over and over.
Oh, my God. How many years?
Well,
70 years.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Oh, I know that chicken you were cooking the other night smells so good. I'm like, just give me a big spoon in the pan.
Yeah, they're all talking about... I am the executive chef here at Garcia's International Restaurant, so for those of you who've never been here... Latin American, American, Mexican cuisine. Been here for 36 years. So if you like that type of food, we have it for you. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's really good.
Yeah. As I'm waiting for my...
Oh, you want my reading to you?
Okay.
I'm not giving a reading.
Okay.
I'm not.
Oh, geez.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
no.
You
wait too
well.
Okay. And after what you told me today, I'm not giving you a reading.
Okay. Sleep on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
Or my bed? What?
What? Sleep on it, what, like the dollar? The bed? Sleep on it.
means to take a rest. Okay. Whatever, if there's something on your mind, if there's something you've been going through, if there's something that's just been nitpicky at you, sleep on it, rest, and let it ride. Don't worry about it too much.
Very good.
Speaking of sleep, you know, I don't know if anybody has any additional thing to add to Reggie, but has anyone been noticing their dreams lately? Have they been more active, less active?
My dreams have been really active. They have a lot of meaning to me.
A lot of my dreams. Where for you?
A lot of water dreams, fish, boats. If I find a dream about a diving platform, probably at the diving platform,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to go up and dive off it, and the guy's like, oh, no, you can't dive off of that. I go, why not? Because it's too shallow.
Oh.
I mean, it was really shallow. I mean, it was like this. And I don't know why in my mind I thought I could go and dive into this shallow water.
Oh, wow.
The guy goes, see the marker? That's how high the water needs to be in order for you to dive and successfully dive.
Wow.
Annihilated.
That's cool. I've actually done that, dive into accidentally shallow water because I dislocated my shoulder. So,
wow.
You got to know the depth of the water. Sometimes the water looks like it's deep, but it's not really deep enough. And I was at a private pond, and they paid for my doctor, the people that owned the property and stuff, at the time I was in college. And they paid for my doctor's bill and stuff, and I did two overnight because they were for the time. And what I did was dislocate my shoulder, and that was all. If you've ever dislocated the shoulder, to get it back into place, that is painful. Basically, they just tell you not to think about it, and then they basically yank your arm back in college. So, and then you wrap it up so you can't move it for a few days.
I watched a video clip one time where a guy was diving in the shallow water, but he wasn't diving. He was up on a platform that was probably, I want to say, close to a story and a half. And you see him just standing up there, kind of like an iron cross position, and he just, face first, goes into like a baby pool. I mean, no more than 2 feet deep, right into the water.
Where's it though?
Oh yeah, I mean, it was like his trick. It was like some kind of magic trick. It was like, what is going on? You know, it's like defying physics. You know, it's like.
Well, you can. I mean, you can see the dream. Well, I was having this dream last night, and I'm swimming in the ocean with a couple other people. We come up to this boat, on the side of this boat, and get into this boat, and then there's this guy cooking fish, like on the skewers.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he turned around, the little kids would take a huge deal, run off with one, you know. Like they would take it. And they took one big one. Come around and go, oh, where all the fish go? He looked at me, I'm like, fish. And then we eventually docked, and then I got off with my cousin was there, and my aunt was there. You know, and I was like, that's weird. Why am I in the boat with them? Of all people, I'm never going to be in the boat with them in my life, you know. That was just kind of weird.
Well, it's interesting. It's like, well, how do you know they're not in the same boat as you right now?
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Metaphorically speaking,
yeah.
I don't know who they are. You're speaking of in particular. But, yeah, your previous dream, I mean, not to give you reading of the dream, but I'll go ahead and give my interpretation of it. You know, it was like your spirit guide saying, hey, be careful, don't jump into this. You know, it's like almost like a caution, like saying, be careful, you can get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It can kill you. Yeah, so whatever you have going on in your life, if it's somebody's issue, your spirit guide just going to say, hey, be careful. But again, you know, like with the ancestors, you know, the cousin or the aunt and uncle, like your ancestors, saying, you know, I've been in that same boat before. You know, it may not be them. It might be it's the same lineage. You might be, your ancestors kind of speak to you and say, you know what? I've been in that boat before. You know, hey, you know, we're in similar situations here. I know what you're going through. Kind of like comforting you to let you know that you're not alone. Almost, you know,
right.
You're not on this journey. It's not like you're on this boat all by yourself. You're here, and you're being fed and taken care of. Right?
Sure.
Spirit saying you're taken care of. So that was my reading for you on that.
Mm. I haven't been doing any diving in my dreams lately, but I've had a number of sex dreams. Can I get that way?
Yes,
well,
sure.
Yes, please.
No, you don't.
Oh,
you're,
that's right. There's little children in the house.
No, there's anything to it. It's a dream that's very common with me, is that I'm in bed with an ex-wife or an ex-girlfriend or something, and then someone comes in and interrupts, and you know, we get back to being back in bed together.
Oh,
and I don't like it. it's a very, you know, it's a commonly occurring motif in my dreams, which makes me think there's something, some message there that I'm not getting.
Maybe there's some unfinished business.
Could be. Lock the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe there's a part of you that feels like you weren't finished yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's more to experience there sexually.
Mm-hmm.
On a physical plane. Like, you know, there was other stuff was good, but the sex was really good or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you liked that connection. You felt there's an interruption for sure because you're not married with them anymore. So there's definitely a disruption in that. But so it sounds like a frustrating dream, like something that,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a reoccurring frustration. Like a... You know,
and
even
many, especially with the women I happen to be married to,
mm-hmm.
there was a big communication disconnect.
Yeah.
You know, really all through our marriage, but particularly towards the end,
mm-hmm.
and the feeling that this was good once, and now it's not good anymore, and I don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, it's nothing I could have done.
It takes two, that's for
sure. That's true. I mean,
it certainly does.
So it's very much a matter of if I knew then what I knew now.
Absolutely.
It's totally unable to handle.
You know.
Any of those sort of turbulence.
Yeah.
It would make me crazy.
The communication, you know, is one of those things that is like absolutely. If I look at it like one of the most important things, the most important things you can work on as a human being is. Learning to communicate, number one, with yourself and in a really loving and positive way. Because, you know, we have all these negative programs that, you know, we can slip into very easily. But also, that filters out into our personal life and our relationships with our, you know, siblings or kids or significant others or friends. I mean, how we communicate, how we express ourselves, I mean, it's an art. It is an art form to really learn to communicate in a way that you're able to express your needs and what's important to you, and also honoring the other person at the same time. You know, and that's what we were talking about, the healthy limits and boundaries, is, you know, finding a way to not communicate too is a way. Because sometimes you have people who are really extroverted that just don't know when to shut up, you know, and they just don't have any healthy limits and boundaries as far as not being, talking too much. And you have others who don't talk at all and don't express themselves and create a boundary within themselves in a relationship. So, I mean, communication is like, you can learn to master that, learn to be very vulnerable with that at times, and to learn to grow and play with that. I mean, your life will change. It will change really fast. That's my belief anyway. Anyone else have any thoughts on that?
Communication is very important, I think, because sometimes we, or some people, I know myself at times, I'll keep things to myself when I know I should be talking to someone about what's going on. Someone bothers me or makes me very angry, I'll keep it to myself in order to keep. But sometimes it's good to go talk to that person and try to work things out, especially if you have a significant other, or you're married, or, you know, brother, sister, go try to reason and talk it out, try to get it out of the system, otherwise it can cause problems down the road. So that's good advice for someone out there, if not for myself, just to learn to communicate, learn to get things out, learn to get what's off your chest, and forgive that person, forgive the universe, forgive whoever hurt you, because forgiveness is not for the other person, forgiveness is for you. It gets all that dis-ease out of your system, because when we don't forgive, it causes dis-ease, which in turn can cause physical disease. So you want to keep yourself open and pure and keep things from bothering you.
Anybody else?
Good panel discussion.
You've been proposed a question.
Yeah.
Chat room by our friend Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
They're always asking questions of us.
Okay.
Where we're at.
Okay.
What is the group's view on our court system? I'm assuming he's talking about the United States court system. Each person has a different point of view, positive, negative, neutral. What needs to change to make all the courts fair to all people?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about it, you're bothering me.
Well, you know, the clip is based on our value, the collective value system of our country. So, you know, it's what the collective at this point deems what is what's the crime, what is the punishment. So I think a lot of it is based on the collective. I don't think necessarily, that's a really tough question because there's so many different views by county, by state, and also the federal government. So we're a melting pot of belief systems, and you know, depending on what the person's view, if it's more of a leftist or right view. I mean, what's fair to the person on the right is not fair to the person on the left versus the left and the right. So I don't know. I don't think there's a really easy answer for that. I think that just asking a question is important. So I thank you for the question. I mean, I don't really necessarily have what's fair. You know, who's to say what's fair?
I agree with you. You know, it's a combination of what we agreed on to some degree, you know, or they agreed on, because we didn't have that opportunity.
No.
Well, we have opportunities to amend to things, but
correct.
Here we are, you know, we have a system that was put together in order to be fair and just, you know, be judged by our peers, and if that doesn't work out, maybe there's appeals or not. But is it fair? Is it unfair? Is it neutral? It's hard to say. It depends where you're at in the game. Because if you're the prosecutor, or, you know, you're the judge, you know,
your
role
is
different.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all relative, isn't it? It's all perspective.
It really depends. You know, if you're the victim or if you're the person being tried, your point of view is going to be completely different than everybody else's point of view.
You know, I overheard this conversation of my son Quinlan over the weekend, and he was talking about how he goes, if you really think about it, everyone's having incest. And I'm like, when they have sex. I'm like, what? And he was, and I thought it was really interesting, his thought process. He's 11 years old, mind you. And he was like, well, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, and everyone came from Adam and Eve, and then everyone's brothers and sisters, and everyone's having sex with their brothers and sisters. And I'm like, that's a really interesting 11-year-old perspective.
Yeah.
So, does anyone want to add to that?
Thanks, Marilyn. Just ruined my day.
So, I thought, you know, from an 11-year-old perspective, you know, it's interesting how they are, that's the story from the Bible, story of creation from the Bible.
If you're biblically inclined and you believe that,
yes,
then that would be true, wouldn't it?
Would it?
When does it change? When did the aliens drop off the other
When
people?
Did the other people come into play?
When
well, what if we were all created an image of creator? Yeah.
Oh, if we all create an image of a creator, then creator's having sex with himself. I don't know. But the thing is, that gets to the point of Warhawk was telling me that he was watching a show about creation.
Well,
it was origin of man.
It was more to the effect of a National Geographic Channel show, and it was something to the effect of they were doing genetic studies, and it was, you know, they were getting quite off topic to the system, but whatever. In terms of DNA testing, they can test, you know, your DNA with a cotton swab on the side of the cheek, and a sample of that can lead back to, like, I think they were saying 6,000 generations. And they're going back to the origin of man as we know it, or what they hypothesize, or, you know, whatever scientists are saying at this point, based on the knowledge that they have in their pocket. And it was going through all the what they're hypothesizing as the migration of, but all in their belief system, in the scientific belief system, it all leads everybody back to the origin of Africa.
Originated
in Africa.
Yes.
Now, I can add some insight of what was said. If you look at it that way, then you would have more respect for that person you're with, because you're not just looking at that person as someone in relationship terms. You're not looking at that person.
Boy, we really don't want to talk about choices.
I was going to circle back.
We are running, screaming in the opposite direction.
You don't want to look at that person.
Well, the thing is, there's a point to all this. I know.
No, you look at that person as your brother or sister. You're not looking at that person as a piece of meat to just go.
But
this does tie
in. Don't okay, I think Four High wants to wrap
this up. All my relations.
It's all my relations. I mean, we're
No, I was going to say something to this effect. In terms of, like, we're saying court system, right? So in the court system, it is something that had origin at one time. So in that, if we're talking about this migratory system and or where did we all come from? Did we theoretically come from Africa, whatever? From the court system, it all did come from somewhere. I think our topic a couple weeks ago, I don't know
we talked about this
last week, but we said, well, what would we do without
prison? No prison.
Yeah. So in that sort of same effect, we're talking about a blanketed court system. We don't know what, you know, exactly the what's on the judgment table at the moment, but, you know, do we need that system? Do we have to have it in place? Can we decide things on our own? You know?
If you're controlling the masses, we talked about that.
You know? Does a fist fight out in the street equate to justice, or does it need something to where there's a mediation?
I mean, the villages used to have mediation.
When there was two people, I mean, how did they mediate, you know? When there was, you know, the origin
Native
of
Americans
man.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, they mediate.
We mediate. We do a mediation.
We've done councils. Or we've
and what usually happens is either they stay in the tribe and they have to do some type of reformation, or they're excommunicated. You know, they're cast or banned out or whatever. So, and then they create their own little village. Mm-hmm. And they create their own laws.
That's how
and
it all
then,
happens.
You know, there's separation. So, mm-hmm. you know, all this is about separation and ultimately about communication, you know, to some degree.
Until the son and daughters of those two opposing villages marry and then secretly and then they just become crazy.
And then it's
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. And our West Side Story.
West Side Story.
Yes, that was a very interesting story.
It also I also brought the question last week, if you remember. I talked about, hey, if there was a bang, then how did it happen?
Wait, like, what kind of bang?
A big bang, you know? Think about it.
Which, a big bang, okay.
A huge bang.
All right. Katie's over just laughing.
But, you know, Andrew brought up the things about court. Well, don't we court somebody?
Oh, interesting.
You know, don't we court a woman?
Yes, we do.
I'm going to court you.
Think about it, yeah. So later, so that she can take you to court.
Yeah. Take it for half. Or more. No, but I brought up that question about the Big Bang, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, two opposing forces meeting. And then I believe there was two opposing forces that met. And, you know, that's how things
came. That's what we created. So what you're saying is we create through friction.
Well, we do
that. We grow through friction, don't we?
We have sex. We have sex, and that's a
that's friction.
You know. And then there's a bang when the sperm and egg meet. There's a huge bang right there. One without the other.
And if you do it in court, you go to jail.
Okay, Andrew. How did that answer your question? Humorous, huh? Okay.
You're asking a bunch of clowns, Andrew. Hope that answers your question a little bit.
Yeah. Well, this
is actually, I mean, there was a piece of what I might say. Because you start off saying what was fair and what's not fair. I don't know what's fair. What's not fair is for people with a lot of resources to be able to apply those to get justice when people who don't have a lot of resources can't.
Right.
That reflects the fact that that not just our justice system, but all of our systems are just entirely too big and need to be localized,
well,
which is kind of what you guys are talking about.
Well, that also applies to our education system.
Yes.
I mean, the people who live in a very wealthy area, their kids have the best education. Kids that might not live in a very wealthy area, guess what? They barely get a good education. So is that fair? All those are very good questions. You know, what is fair? And again, you know, you don't see the very wealthy promoting necessarily, you know, equal, you know, educational rights for children. Because it really doesn't interest them to do that. Because that means that they would have to open their schools to everybody. It's an open school system. Actually, Governor, oh my gosh, not Taft. That's many years ago, but no, the guy that's now, what's his name?
Oh, Kasich.
Kasich, yeah, Kasich. He's talking about Kasich is talking about, you know, creating an open school system where there is a fairness, which is really unusual because he's a very conservative individual. So people are actually bringing that to court and contesting that and trying to.
But it goes deeper, too. I mean, it goes back to where you, how you were raised, to where your family comes from. You know, it's not just the school. School is just one variable, man. Because,
right, but access to the school is one thing.
Yeah, accessibility to
accessibility,
that type
like
of
what Pablo was saying. But
it still goes back to the family. Because if your family doesn't care if you go to school or don't go to school, and if you don't care and you don't want to go to school, yeah, it doesn't matter how much you have or what's in front of you. You may have the best laptop in the world, $1,800 laptop, Apple computer, and you don't use it properly. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't study. What's the point of having an $1,800 laptop, you know? I mean, really. You have a playing field, but you're not playing it. So it's about the individual as well, to some degree, I believe, you know.
Because
some people don't realize what they have until they've actually lost it, don't have it anymore.
That is very true.
And they won't know that ever. Because they may never, ever step out of that point of view, because they're always in it. Like myself, I'm in the restaurant. I may never really ever appreciate the restaurant how I should appreciate it, like my mom and dad did, because they appreciate it from a different angle. They appreciate it because they had to survive, they had to live, and they had to go.
Even though we had to survive growing up, I mean, we never went without.
Right.
You know, our parents were always there. They never made sure we always had a meal on the table. So on their end,
and we had to wait.
Yeah.
Sometimes to eat, that we would make ketchup and mustard sandwiches, remember?
But we had that.
And we had it. It was fun. Yeah. You know? It was like, ah, Rose, I'm making you ketchup and mustard sandwich.
Where's the ham, woman? I want some egg on that.
I remember those.
Yeah.
Those lean years, you know?
Yeah.
I remember when we didn't have anything. I remember when.
I thought it was tasty. I didn't complain once.
When I had to wash my own underwear and I keep it hanging them up, you know? So
right.
I'm around the next day.
Right.
And so, who does the law serve? And who should it serve? I mean, I know that I have a definite idea what the internet is.
Well,
after
the thing
is, serves the people who can afford to pay to have a law made.
Yes,
for
but the thing is, we also want our freedom as well. It's like, how much do you want the law involved in your life, and how much do you want the government involved in everything that you're doing as well? So I mean, there's a balance. This is such a complex, in-depth question because it's like they're all these aspects are so interconnected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to like it's like a compromise. And that's the scales of justice. You know how she's scale? It's like, you know, there's a, you know, cause and effect relationship to the choices and the decisions that we make. So let's say we want our government to do this for us. Well, that means probably we're going to give up some of our rights, you know, to some degree. Or if we want less government involvement, then that means that we may not have as much protection as we want. Or, you know, in one area, I'm talking about the gun thing, the gun rights.
Or just talk about the Mississippi.
Mississippi, absolutely.
Could I have fought in it more? Yeah, if I had more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, Todd makes a good point.
If
you
had no more money, nobody would have messed with
it. Yeah, if I had deep pockets, I could have just said, some sucker, you know? But I couldn't.
Right.
You know, it would have gone further, but I didn't. I couldn't. So I had to compromise my own beliefs to some degree in order to get what I could out of it.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I didn't sign a damn thing.
Right.
Just let it go at that.
Because we didn't want it to become a gazebo lodge.
Gazebo lodge. But, you know, that's the point. I mean, you're right. It can go anywhere. It can twist and turn.
Because it's so very, like, interlocking and connected. We're all, like, invested in each other, so to say.
All my relations.
I think the systems, I mean, the system is just too massive. And the laws, I mean, the system itself, and then you have the laws that are behind it. So your systems is too massive, and the laws have gotten strayed too far away from natural law. So, I mean, what law do you really need? Don't kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't take something that's not yours.
Yeah.
You know, don't molest somebody. I mean, how complicated is it really? Well, if you want to be able to screw somebody over with your lawyers, you make the law really, really complicated. The whole thing. So I mean, you need smaller systems, and the law needs to be as close to natural law as it possibly can be. That's the only way. Otherwise, you know, there's just too many ways to cancel it.
Yeah, I think Ben made he had something he said last week. His dad was in Singapore, I believe.
Oh, right.
And a mom and her son were trafficking drugs, and I think they hung them the next day, right?
Yeah, no, it was
no,
the same day.
Same day.
They landed the plane. This is the way my dad described it. They landed the plane. They did an inspection. I don't even think they did a random, bag check. I think they checked every single bag that came in. That's the way I heard it. And they found paraphernalia and or a quantity of drugs on them. And they didn't ask questions. They didn't, where did this come from? Is this your bag? And now you die.
Yeah, I mean, that makes you think twice about doing something there, right?
No, if it were Miley Cyrus, if they have ended.
Question?
Would she be trafficking drugs, though?
Right? Why not?
Hmm. Well, American citizens have been flogged overseas.
Yeah,
the spray paint deal that I also mentioned.
One kid got flogged with bubblegum, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Threw gum on the ground. And
but the thing is, you can
yeah,
walk.
There's no litter.
You were talking about how you can walk in that city and at night and not worry about being mugged or killed or anything like that because, like, the natural law is, like, I guess that's probably close to natural law as you can get. And that's extreme, but my opinion. But it's probably not extreme to them based on their values or something.
Right.
But there, people follow the rules. They all respect each other and, you know, it's, whatnot.
And Andrew says just by acknowledging it, the world changes with every flap of the butterfly to the outside of this of his dreamtime cocoon.
Andrew, please, don't encourage them. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a topic we can talk about for hours. So.
Absolutely.
But I'm glad that we had a good time together here, hanging out. And,
talk about the things we need to talk about,
the news we need to give today. And we don't have any more callers, and the chat room is starting to close down a little bit. So I'll just leave everybody, just everyone, we'll leave a little nugget with somebody. I guess we'll start with Katie. We'll love you and meet everybody.
Love one another. I second that, and, you know, keep communicating. Something, you know, on your mind. Talk to, you know, your friend or yourself or whoever you need to talk to about it. You know, keep the lines of communication open. And again, love. I like that message. Love one another.
Just enjoy the journey. You know, sometimes it's not about the message or the, you know, the lesson to be learned. Sometimes it's about just being in it, being in the thick of it, being in the mud.
I will be more selfish with mine. Talk about my granddaughter, who has developmental delays, and she's fighting. She fought to learn how to walk. She's fighting to learn how to talk right now. And she's my most important teacher because of the courage that she shows. You know, there's absolutely nothing. She's fearless. And any sort of difficulty I may be thinking I'm having, it just disappears when I think about the struggle that she has. And so I would encourage everyone to look for your teachers because they're not always where you think they are.
Very good. I can't follow up on that one. Pretty powerful. I appreciate that. I want to appreciate everybody for today sharing their thoughts and their insights with everyone. So we're going to call it a night. We're going to move forward into our lives and go to the places we go and influence and touch the people that we touch with our hearts and our spirits and souls. And as Quinlan says, they're our brothers and sisters. So be mindful of that. That when you hurt someone else, you're hurting your brother, your sister. Or if you're engaging with somebody, love your brother or sister. God loves us all. A big karmic joke. Universal joke.
All my religion.
All my father. Well, I want to thank everybody, and you guys have a nice evening, and we'll talk to you.
Until next week.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplanes. The Furious.